Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn. Today is America's birthday, July 4th. Woohoo! Thanks for joining us here today on day two of our career article, Career Considerations. And yesterday we talked about are you management material? And then today we're going to move into a little bit different topic, robot-proofing your job, how to build the skills to survive automation. I've got Brandon Bryant and Carolyn Kalpin back in the studio with me today. Hi, panelists.
Hello, Bill.
Great to have you back for day two. Before we get into today, I just wanted to get maybe a thought or an idea from yesterday from each one of my panelists. Could be anything. Could be a vocabulary word. Could be a quote. Any concept from yesterday that you think might be helpful to cover one more time before we move forward. I always like to go back and review something from the day before. So who's first, Carolyn or Brandon?
I'll go first.
All right.
Or we can flip a coin.
I was going to say do paper, scissors, stone. Yeah. So, all right, we'll do that next time.
All right. Well, I like the question, how much do you love what you do? And I think that's a good question to ask yourself. If you have the opportunity to go into a managerial position, think about this question, because if you go into that position, you may not like it as much because you will not be able to do some of the same things you're currently doing.
Yeah. Okay. Very important consideration to realize, do I really love what I do? And you may not want to walk away from that.
Mm-hmm.
You may want to just keep doing that. And,
right.
And there's satisfaction with that. And I always tell people, don't do stuff for money. Do not do stuff for money. Money is important. There's a certain level that we need to provide for our basic needs, provide for our families, of course. But too often I see people do stuff for money, and it comes with so many things that people don't expect.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people end up not happy. They got more money.
Right.
But money does not guarantee happiness, because once you reach a certain level, you have diminishing returns. And so I would say when you're making a career choice, make sure you love it. Make sure at least you like it, because to get up every morning at 6 a.m. And get in a car or bus or MRT and go do that, boy, you better like it.
Yeah.
And money's not enough to make you happy to do that.
That's right.
Well, Bill, it sounds like you're asking, are the trade-offs worth it? And trade-off is one of the words that we learned yesterday, and it just means that you accept something bad in exchange for something good.
Mm-hmm.
So Bill was talking about the trade-offs of money. Money is good. Money is important. We need it.
Yeah.
But what are the trade-offs for getting that money? What do we put ourselves through to make it?
Right.
So I think that's a really good question. Are the trade-offs worth it?
Yeah. My concept from yesterday, which I really liked, and I actually have seen in person in my career, was what we finished with, was that mid-level producers with people skills tend to be more satisfied and successful. This Alice Wagen had quoted about the best candidate for management generally is not the star player. And this is for organizations to consider. It's not always the star player that makes the best manager. Often these star players end up being a disaster, and they end up alienating all of the employees. The reason why, and I saw this when I was in sales, star players, star salespeople are usually so focused and driven in inner-directed people, they don't even think about any other person. They're not even thinking about their wife or their kids. And so you don't want to put that person into a management position, because they will destroy a team if somebody is so focused on themselves. They're narcissistic. And then they really then do not know how to work with people as a team. Star players are like, give me the ball, give me the ball, give me the ball. Okay? Kobe Bryant. You wouldn't make Kobe Bryant the coach.
Yeah.
Okay? You're going to make somebody else a coach, one of the role players, because the role player understands the importance of all five players.
Yeah.
So that's what you want to do if you're in a corporation or an organization. Who do you make a manager?
Right. And also here, I think of someone who's very good at a certain certain things. They're not good at thinking about the overall picture. They're maybe more detail-oriented. Mm-hmm. And so they're focused on their tasks, and they're really good at that. But when you throw in, oh, I have to tell this person what to do and schedule this and do that, that's not their thing. So I think, too, it's just a different skill set that it's involved.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That was yesterday about are you management material. Today we're going to shift our direction a little bit. We're going to talk about robot-proofing your job, how to build the skills to survive automation. It's something we all have to think about. I have to think about it. I know Carolyn and Brandon probably have. I've got to look at, okay, the next 20 years of my life, what am I going to do? And I've actually been thinking about this recently, is what am I going to do that is not going to be replaced by automation? And, wow, there's a lot of things we have to consider.
Yeah.
So, because it's happening so much. But, you know, have you ever thought about that?
It's something that I haven't considered necessarily for myself, mm-hmm. but as sort of a global phenomenon.
Yeah.
The idea of dark factories, where you have factories that are run without lights on because you don't need people to work in them. It's all robots.
Yeah,
so,
dark factories.
Yeah, dark factories.
Wow.
Yeah, so that is something that I have thought about, but not necessarily for myself.
Sounds like a horror movie. Dark factory. It'd be it's like
maybe
five
in the future.
Teenagers lost in the factory full of robots.
There you go.
Wow.
New movie idea.
Wow. Dark factories. All right. That was pretty good, Brandon. Can you top that one?
I can't top that at all. I haven't for myself. I haven't thought about being replaced by a robot, but it is all around. As you know, we go into, I don't know, the mall or some restaurant or whatever, and we see some machine there that we use, and maybe a person used to do that. There was a gas station in the U.S. I used to go to, and you ordered your sub. It was all done through the screen. And then they had people back there making it. But,
right.
you know, that just a simple way of showing how things are being automated.
Or even you look at public transportation. With the MRT system in Taipei, you don't have ticket collectors.
Mm-hmm.
You swipe a card and you go through the gate.
Mm-hmm.
You don't
right.
need a person to check your ticket or anything like that. Or even taking the train here is mostly automated.
Yeah, that's true. So there is automation, not just robots. We think about robots, but you're talking about devices that handle it. And Brandon had mentioned ordering sandwiches at a kiosk, K-I-O-S-K. We see these kiosks everywhere, airports, right? So it doesn't have to be a robot. I mentioned, you know, I have to think about careers, and not that I was thinking about being a truck driver, but recently I was in America, and I keep reading about this stuff, how self-driving vehicles is going to replace a million or 2 million truck drivers. I'm like, oh, my goodness. There's, like, all these guys that are like went into this career driving a truck, and we're talking about 10 years from now, we're going to replace them all with self-driving trucks. So, all right, what do we do with these guys? Now, don't worry about all of those millions of truck drivers. Let's focus on yourself right now as far as how you can build the skills to survive automation. We're going to have our first reading.
Robot-proofing your job. How to build the skills to survive automation. As America looks to the future of employment, the trend of automation poses a particularly urgent threat to many workers. While it's hard to predict exactly how automation technologies will continue to develop, the capabilities of current technologies can give us a good sense of the tasks most likely to be automated in the future. While it's a virtual certainty that automation will replace some job tasks, researchers disagree on the trend's overall impact on future unemployment rates. One study estimates that 47% of jobs in the U.S. are at risk of being automated in the next 20 years. Another study estimates that artificial intelligence, machine learning, and automation will replace 7% of U.S. jobs by 2025.
As America looks to the future of employment, and I would expand this as the world looks to the future of employment.
Mm-hmm. Well, the trend of automation poses a particularly urgent threat to many workers.
Okay, particularly urgent threat. What do we mean by this particularly urgent threat?
Well, it means that it's serious and it's coming quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Urgent. Now. It's happening as we speak. And it's hard to predict how automation exactly this stuff will continue to develop, but...
Well, they also talk about the capabilities of current technologies can give us a good sense of the tasks that will be automated. And so we look at the type of jobs and what abilities are needed. Well, if it doesn't take maybe as much skill, then maybe it could be automated.
Right. And so what I'm getting from this sentence here, it's a long sentence, but what this second sentence in this paragraph is telling me is that what I see right now is really just, it's like the tip of the iceberg.
Mm-hmm.
It's only the beginning, and I can't really even base the future or my future decisions or possibilities on what I see today.
Right.
And that's really where a lot of people get stuck in life. In fact, that's where 95% of people fall behind, is that we look and see what we see today, and we're just like basing our evaluation of opportunities or options on what we see today.
Mm-hmm.
But we actually, this is only, it's only almost like a sign, right?
Yeah. It's hard to look ahead, right? We don't know what the future technology is going to be like.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you think of different sci-fi movies and things that predicted voice command in your home.
Mm-hmm.
And we have that now.
Yeah.
So these new technologies are always changing and growing and expanding, and it is hard to know what the future holds for automation, but by looking at what we do know, we can kind of get a sense of where it might be going.
We can make an educated guess, you know, based on the information that we have.
Yeah, and I would say what we're talking about here is jobs, is that in careers, is that nothing is off limits.
Mm-hmm.
I would say... Now, there may be some things that can never be replaced. I don't know what they are, but I would say the way you need to approach the world today is actually see as any job not off limits from technology.
Mm-hmm.
And just that's a starting point. And not saying that that's a disaster for us, but we just then have to be prepared and say, okay, what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
Right? How do I prepare myself? Second paragraph starts...
While it's a virtual certainty that automation will replace some job tasks. So let's talk about that word virtual. Well, it's almost certain that this will happen. Virtual certainty. Virtual is just another way of talking about a particular thing or quality. And a lot of times we'll say it's virtually true. That's another way of saying it's almost certain to happen.
Yeah. All right. But the researchers, they disagree.
Yeah, they disagree on the trend's overall impact on future unemployment rates. So people put out very dark figures that employment rates are going to be sky high. No one's going to have a job because robots are going to be doing everything, and it's just going to be terrible. But maybe not quite so bad.
Now, what we're saying here is, like, for instance, maybe in the United States, they say the official unemployment rate is 5%. Whatever that number might be, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the
mm-hmm.
unemployment rate. Everybody else is working. We've only got 5% of the people not working. And there's these predictions by some people, unemployment rate is going to be 25% or 50% because we're replacing everybody with robots. So nobody really knows. One study estimates that
47% of jobs in the U.S. are at risk of being automated in the next 20 years. So they did a study and they came up with this number and said nearly half of jobs are in danger of being replaced by robots.
Yeah. So, that's what I was saying. You have to look at every career option and say it's possible. What this sentence says is almost half, almost 50% of all jobs are at risk.
Yeah.
Not that they're going to, at risk.
And I think that's also really important when we're looking at statistics and studies. It is at risk, not that it is definitely going to happen.
That leaves some room there. So, you know, people won't come back and say, oh, you said 50%, and then they put at risk. You have to look at the fine details in these statistics.
Another study estimates that...
Artificial intelligence, machine learning, and automation will replace 7% of U.S. jobs by 2025.
So, all right, so this is a different statistic, but we're talking about a different concept here, right? Artificial intelligence.
And also a different timeline. Mm-hmm. So the first study was 20 years.
Right.
And then this is less than 10.
Right.
2025, right?
Yeah.
So really, they're quite different in what they're measuring. And this one includes artificial intelligence. And artificial intelligence, or AI, you might know it as, mm-hmm. is one of our specialized terms. And it just means robots or machines that can behave like a human brain,
yeah.
can think.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So this says 7% of jobs is very different. Automation is already replacing positions like in factories, which Carolyn had mentioned, or even if it's kiosks at airport, that's considered automation. Artificial intelligence is a whole different thing. This would be a machine or a robot that actually can think and process and learn. That's what machine learning mm-hmm. is, learn from its mistakes. Mm-hmm. So they're saying 7% of jobs could be lost by 2025. Okay, let's have our second reading.
Trying to predict future job markets. What can't be predicted is what new roles, if any, will replace these positions. Industries and professions fading, only to be replaced by others, have marked the history of employment. I think the net impact of automation on jobs will be difficult to say, says Michael Chewy, a lead researcher on the business and societal impacts of information technologies and innovation. Chewy notes that in 1900, roughly 40% of Americans were employed in agriculture versus a number in the low single digits today. But it isn't as if we have 30%+ unemployment now because we pay people to do different things now, Chewy says. Chewy and his colleagues recently studied more than 2,000 work activities for over 800 occupations. In the process, they identified the work activities that would be most technically feasible to automate.
Okay, trying to predict future job markets. Hard thing to do, right, Brandon?
It is really difficult. It's difficult to know what new roles, if any, will replace these positions. And so you're taking a guess at all of this, but we do have a lot of information at hand. And so mm-hmm. you just try to make a guess at what might happen in the future.
Yeah. Okay. Is this anything new?
Not really. No, it's something that's always been going on. It has marked the history of employment. So
yeah.
It's normal.
Yeah. Industries and professions fading. What's that mean, fading?
Well, it means that it disappears. Mm. It becomes less popular. Kind
yeah.
of fades away.
Yeah.
But they're professions are replaced by others.
They're replaced by others, so that's right. So new technologies come along, new products come along. We need people with different skills.
All right, you mentioned truck drivers earlier, and then mm-hmm. they can maybe replaced by automated trucks. Maybe there's something else that they could do.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know what that is, but that's what's happened in the past.
Okay, in the next paragraph, we hear from a researcher, and he talks a little bit about this.
Yes, he says, I think the net impact of automation on jobs will be difficult to say.
Okay. All right. So even this researcher, Michael Chewy, is a little bit unsure about the impact, the societal impacts of information technologies and innovation. What does he mean by societal?
Just referring to society, think of the society in which you live, the people that you live with.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Chewy notes that in 1900, what?
Well, roughly 40% of Americans were employed in agriculture versus the number in the low single digits today. And so you look back, a lot of people were farmers and so forth, but today there's not so many, but people are still working. The unemployment
yeah.
rate isn't super high.
Yeah. It was amazing how many people did work in agriculture, fields related to farming. It says 40% in 1900. In 1850, it might have been 70%. So, but now all farming is pretty much mechanized. Mm-hmm. And so it's a very small percentage of people working in that field in producing far more.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just one, agriculture. You can look in other fields where this has also happened. So, but he says...
Well, he says it isn't as if we have 30%+ unemployment now because we pay people to do different things now.
Yeah, and so we had covered that in the last reading about these predictions about unemployment. And we're really unsure about, okay, how will this affect unemployment? And Michael Chewy is saying, well, in this case, if history is a guide, it's not like all of a sudden robots will come along, automation will come along, and then make half the population unemployed.
Right. It's more gradual than that, mm-hmm. and people will find other things to do.
Yeah, yeah. So, and we also have to learn new skills, mm-hmm. too. So they did a study recently.
Right. Chewy and his colleagues recently studied more than 2,000 work activities for over 800 occupations. And so they conducted this study, and in this process they identified the work activities that would be most technically feasible to automate. That word feasible is really good to know. It's feasible just means, you know, able to happen. And so they're thinking about the jobs that could be easily automated, what robots could do, basically.
Hmm. Okay. Well, what we're going to do in our next reading is take a look at some of the results of this. You know, this is a pretty broad study they did, all of these occupations and tasks that they studied. We're going to take a look at some of their findings.
Among the most vulnerable activities they identified are those involving predictable physical work, data processing, and data collection. Less susceptible are activities involving unpredictable physical work. Think construction, forestry, or raising outdoor animals, and stakeholder interactions. The least susceptible to automation are tasks related to managing others, and tasks that apply expertise to decision-making, planning, and creative tasks.
Okay, our final reading for this day, talking about robotics and how they might affect our career choices. And we finish with this reading. Among the most vulnerable activities they identified, we're talking about Michael Chewy and his group. They did this research, and what were some of their findings?
Well, the most vulnerable, which means the most in danger, mm-hmm. of being automated, involve predictable physical work, data processing, and data collection. So that's pretty understandable, kind of pretty obvious to most people,
mm-hmm.
if it's a predictable physical work, so something that's a repeated motion done mm-hmm. over and over, it's pretty simple. Sure,
right.
That could be automated easily.
Yeah. Data processing and data collection might surprise some people. They might think, huh? What do you mean, data processing, data collection? But actually, data collection can now be done pretty much automatically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just think of your grocery store. They're collecting all sorts of data
right.
on you.
Mm-hmm. Online. It's all through algorithms now.
That's right, online stuff. All right. Less susceptible.
Yeah, that word is good, susceptible. If it's susceptible, it's easily influenced or harmed by something. So in this case, it's less susceptible. We just use that word vulnerable, so here it's the opposite. It's not as vulnerable. Less susceptible are activities involving unpredictable physical work. And so mm-hmm. you think about construction work. Maybe robots would not be able to handle all of that kind of work. There are many different actions that go into constructing a building.
Right. Forestry or raising outdoor animals. Very interesting. These are things that, yeah, they have a lot of movement, physical movement, but not a pattern. Not a set pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And requires a lot of alterations in what you are doing. And then also we see stakeholder interactions. Huh?
Yeah. This was a surprise to me on the list. I didn't really consider this one at all.
Yeah.
But stakeholders are people or a group of people who share or own a share in a business.
Mm-hmm.
So these are people who need to get together and discuss things.
Okay. Have meetings.
So robots can't have their meetings for
that's
them.
That's too bad. I know we'd like to send robots to some of our meetings. That would be a great idea.
And just send report, the robot. Yeah, just download it to our computer. Right?
Although, technology does make it easier for people to have those meetings. You don't necessarily have to be there in person.
That's true.
That's right. That's right. We can use video conferencing, things like that. The least susceptible to automation
are tasks related to managing others and tasks that apply expertise to decision making. And so we talked about managers yesterday. Mm-hmm. Well, it's hard for a robot to be a manager.
Yeah, yeah. So you might want to work on that. Make sure you like it. Mm-hmm. I also think of like fields that do require creative thought process, mm-hmm. and it could be counseling. Or things like that, that we do need a lot of people to deal mm-hmm. with as far as counseling and dealing with people where you have to interact mm-hmm. with people. So it's something to consider. We did have a sidebar that we didn't cover earlier, and I'm going to read it for you. The sidebar says, the automation of some CEO tasks. One of our observations is that this doesn't only apply to low-wage, low-skill work. Some of these things, such as collecting data and processing data, apply to high-wage, high-skill work as well, Chewy says. Our estimate is that 20 to 30% of what a CEO does could even be automated. These tasks for CEOs could include things like scheduling, looking at reports, and extracting insights from them, and producing certain kinds of documents. These are also the kind of tasks that many CEOs would be happy to remove from their plates. I'm sure a lot of them would be happy to delegate some of these tasks to robots. So some more stuff to think about tomorrow. I hope you come on back and join Carolyn and Brandon for that program tomorrow. I mentioned that to you. I'm not going to be here tomorrow. I've got a doctor's appointment, so I can't be here. I just invite our listeners to just keep in touch with me. Look for me on Facebook or go to my website, teacherbill.com. And if you got a question, send it to me. Till we meet again, we say, Tsai Jen, this is Bill.
Brandon.
And Carolyn.
Saying goodbye.
Bye. Bye.